Hey, this is Nawad, and you're listening to The Dikkan Show.
Yo, check it out. A whole new generation of young people today who belong nowhere.
But I prefer to be an outcast.
Third culture kids, where the concept of the Dikkan is the corner shop or the top shop.
We are live outside. Hey, yo, what's up, people?
What up, nation?
It's a revolution of expression.
You're tuned in to The Dikkan Show. Stay tuned in.
Arab digital generation is shaping our identity, their creative expression, and their future. So please give a very warm welcome.
The Dikkan.
Welcome to your tribe.
And the new library is unbelievable. Mm. I wish it wasn't so far from us because I love libraries. But this library is one of the best that I've ever been to.
Yeah.
So yeah. Stunning, stunning.
It is.
It's fun.
Yeah. Do you go to, is this what Sharjahis do? You guys go to the library and chill?
Like, is academics. That a vibe? Sharjah is all about the academics.
We're smart. All about culture, right?
Yeah.
Capital of culture for a reason. We just hang out at the library.
We're so cultural.
Take pictures and be like, yeah, this is where we are.
Yeah.
People go actually for the, I mean, people went when it opened just for the building and, you know, to check it out. And then people go to the cafe and the restaurant. It's really good.
Yeah. The restaurant was fantastic.
Yeah.
And yeah, what else? I feel you've been a lot.
You've been to Fan. You've been to
Paper Fig, which is wonderful.
Yeah, and these are the new. But we've also gone to like the first Dikkan where I used to live.
Yeah, yeah.
We did that like the old neighborhood
tour. Old Sharjah tour.
Yeah, I feel like I've been inducted into like the Sharjahi kind of mentality. And to be honest, what I love about it. And this is something you've got to go and experience it. That's the one thing about Sharjah. You can hear from our friends and probably from the show. But the one thing that I notice when you arrive there is there are moments that have been protected from a part of the UAE and the Arab world that we take for granted until they start to disappear. So like I see the buildings and the architecture from like the 70s.
Yeah.
And that's there. That's reminiscent of how we grew up. And I don't want to lose that. So for me, Sharjah kind of like holds that in a special place.
I mean, there is there's a law on protecting heritage buildings, obviously in Sharjah. So you can't build things that are too contemporary next to older heritage buildings. You can't knock them down, obviously. But there's also you can't build things that look outrageous in certain places. Like you have to get the design of your building approved. And there's a lot of, like there's certain parts of Sharjah where they will encourage you to have a more Arab or Islamic type of architecture inspired design.
Yeah.
And part of it is preserving the identity. I mean, how else?
Yeah.
I feel like when you go into Sharjah, you're like, yeah, I'm in the Middle East. I'm in the Arab world. I'm in
the UAE. Yes. Exactly.
It wasn't always intentional, but now with all of these new things coming up, like I think there's a very intentional direction of this area looks this specific way and we want to keep it that way.
Yes, and I'm glad for that. Because if you grew up in the Arab world, like when I was younger, if you were in Kuwait, you drive through Sharjah and your nostalgia will be triggered.
Yeah.
It's
right.
There. Yeah. It's something in the color of the buildings, in the structure of like low rises.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of the real estate that was built in Sharjah was built by Kuwaiti business people. Yeah.
That's probably why I feel
so
right at home.
So there's a huge Kuwaiti influence.
Yeah. But what is it about the arts in Sharjah? The people that I know, maybe it's because I know so many people all of them have this amazing way of honoring their creativity. Is it something in the school system? Is it something in the area? Is it cultural? Like you guys grew up there. What is it?
I think, I don't know, but I feel like when you grow up in kind of like a city that's on the coast, like people who are kind of coastal people are very open and you grow up around so many different cultures. Like it's a very open environment, I would say, and it's very diverse. And I think part of that you're automatically very open-minded and open to new things and different things. And that makes you a more artistically inclined person, I think, if you are open and if you are curious and if you have that sense of wanting to know more and being exposed to different things. And the fact that I think also, I mean, you know, when we were young, like, I think there was no art in schools, actually.
There wasn't.
No, our school
not
beat
really.
That out of you.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Because what's coming out of Sharjah does not reflect that there was no...
But I'll tell you what there was. I mean, there was art in school up until a certain point, and then everything kind of changed and things became more conservative and art was kind of taken out of things, art, music, and theater and other things. But what wasn't taught in schools was available in other places. So when we were kids, we went to museums all the time because that's what we had. I mean, the science museum.
Yo, I was about to say
it was
the hottest spot in town.
It was so cool. And it's a place you go and see everybody on the weekend.
Is it still there or is it?
It's still there. We should go.
Okay, so how have I not been taken? You know I love the science centers.
I didn't know it was still around until recently because I was like, oh, I should take my brother. And I checked to see if it was there. And I remember all the experiences there, like, you know, they show you liquid nitrogen.
Yeah, there was a show. Do you remember the show?
They have shows like science displays and everything in the museum was made for you to play with.
So clearly you're not my best friend because I've been on this show for so long and I'm only hearing about this like today.
Yeah, and okay. It only came up because she mentioned that and I considered to take Hamoudi, but yeah, it never came about.
If you're going to take your 9-year-old brother, you can take me. I'm 38. Like we can go to the science center.
Yeah, you'll push kids away to play.
Anyways,
it's that kind of
place. I think you need to take a kid in with you. It might be kind of weird if you just wander in. You're like, hey, can we just go
can
touch
we just show
everything?
Up? Yeah. And I remember when I was a kid,
brother, I don't care.
I bought this collection of 2000 star stickers that glow in the dark and you put them all over your room.
Yeah, I remember them.
Yeah. I had one of those. I was that guy.
So the city did invest in places for you to like learn and explore.
And I think at that time there really wasn't anything like it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like your parents are dragging you to a museum where you can't touch anything. It's boring. It was like, okay, here's some cool stuff. And, you know, there was a bike. You bike and then you light up this light bulb.
Yeah,
so you
generate
electricity and you touch this thing and your hair stands on end. And you talk, you learn about energy and all that kind of stuff. But it was in a very fun, hands-on way.
Yeah.
So we were interested. And then there were all these different things, you know, nature reserves and things like that. I mean, kids.
Sharjah's big on that.
Yeah. Wonderful.
So kids get interested from one angle, which is the fun aspect of it. And then as you grow older, you learn more about what you're actually looking at and what you're doing. When we were kids, you know, we didn't read any of the labels. We just wanted to go have fun. And then going back as a teenager, I looked at it from a very different perspective.
And so, and this is something that I do appreciate. I do tell everybody that comes through the country that we meet, you have to go to Sharjah because it's just a different experience. But also, there's an honoring of culture there that it's not to say that the other Emirates don't. That's not true. But I think that if you want to feel what the Arab world is made of, it's there. That's how I feel it anyways.
And you feel the transitions, you feel time, you feel that Arab hospitality feels very different there as well, you know? And you go to certain parts of the market, like there are a lot of things you want to have access to or you might want to buy, especially when it comes to like food and spices and all. And you go to the Iranian market where Fen is, right? That entire street was just known.
Yeah.
You can get everything in bulk.
And everything's imported, but it's but it's also a reflection of who the people are in the city, who the people are. Like, you're at the market and you buy spices or whatever it is, and it's directly overlooking the port.
Right.
So that's, you know, it literally comes from right across the water, and then it's a reflection on who is in the UAE and or who was around at that time, you know.
And contributed to this growth.
Exactly.
A direct connection, which we miss so much, a direct connection to the roots of the place because I would say, how many friends do I know have left in the past year just because of circumstances? That never changed. No matter how much time has passed, this is the port through which everything has come through.
Exactly.
And I find such peace in that. I find such deep peace. Also, ports in the desert make me so happy.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a very dynamic place, I think. And there's something for everybody.
Yeah.
And it's very real also. I think Sharjah is still very real, like with as fast as everything's developing. And Sharjah itself is developing like crazy. I mean, the new parts of Sharjah are insane.
Yeah.
There's so much development. There's so much technology. There's so many new buildings and projects. But if you go back to the older part of a city, everything is still there.
Yeah.
You know, the houses that my parents lived in are still around.
They're still there.
Yeah. All these stories and my grandparents and all that stuff. So you find it's interesting because you kind of get to see the history really up close and it's preserved and it's open and you can walk in and touch things and look at things and it's quite special.
And so like arts and culture space is the space that you're seemingly most comfortable in. What matters in the world of art and arts and culture now post-pandemic? Because I feel like what we valued in February 2020 kind of doesn't literally, again, a nothing burger.
Yeah.
Like nothing.
I think sustainability is so important.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sustainability for for all the projects that people are doing, and for artists, I think also questioning why we're doing what we're doing. Mm. It doesn't make sense, I think, or it's not sustainable anymore for artists to make art just because, you know, for art's sake or for the sake of it. And it's not, people have to be smarter about whether they're investing in art in terms of like supporting it, funding it, buying it, or making it. I think it has to be, I think the way we think about it is different. We can no longer put up shows in a quick kind of, oh, I want to do this tomorrow, let's do it.
Right, just make
just
it
do
happen.
It.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you can't ship works from around the world like you used to.
Right.
And people can't produce things without the support that they used to have. And there's huge funding cuts, I think, everywhere when it comes to art. But even in terms of like, just as an ecosystem or as people, like, I think we have, I think the way we think about things has changed so much.
Yes.
And we used to think very short term, I think, in the past. And now everything slowed down and we were forced to kind of take a break, sit back and say, no, I can't have things the way I want to anymore. I have to slow down. I have to be more patient and plan way ahead in advance.
Yeah.
And it's changed. And I think for a place like the UAE, where everything is so quick.
Yes.
Yeah.
It really, I think it made everybody just take... Yeah. You know, take a big step
back. We're spoiled at how fast things get processed here.
Yes.
You know, and you only remember that when you travel.
Well, when you go somewhere else and get things done in 10 days
instantly.
The way we do.
Yeah. Things never process that way. Like, I was telling Reem about this previously. Like, we've experienced it. We were in Saudi and the flow of things would give you anxiety because it's a shock to your system and suddenly things don't move as fast.
But that's like everywhere in the world except us.
Except us. And anywhere you go, you remember like, oh, no, I'm not in Dubai. You got to kind of UAE.
Yeah.
You self-check.
Yeah.
Right?
The breakneck speed has value. I'm not saying it doesn't have value. But now as we look back and we're trying to recalibrate, I do feel, okay, let's walk with more intention to be sustainable.
But also stillness as well. Like there's a stillness changes everything in you know? And I think... We kind of forget that. We just like, no, we got to go now and get things done. And suddenly like, okay, he's still for
but
a
I
moment.
Think everybody's priorities changed. I mean, even in our, I don't know, I'm sure it's the same for you guys, like in our personal and social lives after.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't want to say after pandemic, but like after the lockdown and after taking all this time and having stepped back so much.
Yeah.
I think we're reevaluating everything. And I kind of feel like it's a major life lesson and we try to ignore it a little bit. You can't ignore it.
You can't. It will always, you'll always it will reckon with you. It will shake you awake.
Yeah.
And I do feel like, you know, what's important to humanity overall is to take stock of the moments, the memories, like the singular frames that you kind of collect throughout. But I feel like artists have been so jarred. The artists I know have been so jarred to either create or to just suddenly be completely silent.
Right.
I find this interesting. I've never seen this in the world of things.
I mean, I think also when you think about kind of artists here, there were so many things going on. Mm-hmm. Everybody wanted, because art became super cool and very, like, it's trending. It's cool. Everybody wants to be an artist. Everybody wants to be a curator. Everybody wants to commission something. Everybody was doing it. And then suddenly, everybody realized they couldn't, you know, with the pandemic and all this stuff, everyone took a step back. And then you have all these artists saying, wait, like, I was getting all these gigs.
Now what?
Now what? Just because you don't have a space or you can't do an event or you don't have a license or whatever, you're not interested in me anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that was, I think, the biggest shock to a lot of people. And I think also the biggest indicator that we were not doing things sustainably or for the right reasons.
You know, and so I think this new calibration. So what is the new kind of direction? It's being more sustainable, correct?
It's more sustainable. I mean, like for us, like for us at work and at Sharjah Art Foundation, it's always very calculated. It's always planned way in advance. And it's different because it's not like we're working with artists over many years.
Yeah.
We're working on projects that take years to come into completion. And it's a very sustainable model because that's how it should be when you're commissioning work or creating work or working with an artist, putting a project together. But we did kind of, you know, post-lockdown, we did slow down even more. We keep projects on for much longer.
Yeah.
We don't do things quick anymore. And at the end of the day, we also we're very lucky enough that we're able to do that. Yes. Like, we didn't have to let people go. We didn't have to cancel projects. We were able to do that. And
that's very good.
Yeah,
that's wonderful to hear.
We didn't have to fit into this calendar of we have to do an event and we have to do a show. And we kind of controlled our own narrative in a way that it was very easy to still support artists and say, okay, we're not going to have a show this year. We'll do it next year, but we'll still support you. We'll still pay you. We'll still work on projects. We'll still do things. And that was, I think, pretty good.
I think that's amazing. Yeah.
We're very lucky.
You're really downplaying something that's massive.
We were very lucky, I think.
But I think that's another thing as well as, like, you know, as artists, the truth is we do have to look at ourselves as businesses in a way that have to have a long-term, you know, a longevity plan of some sort, you know?
And sometimes hard, I think, in a place of that's got so many businesses and so many things going on. And I think, like, it's very, I think the market can be really saturated. And I understand the struggle from a lot of artist friends who are like, I want to be an artist and I want to make art for art's sake, but I need to get paid and I need to make money and I need to live and I need to pay my bills. I mean, how many full-time artists do you know who live here who don't have family support? Barely any.
Right. Yes, it's, that's true.
It's so hard. Yeah. It's really difficult. So I think, you know, I think people have to be, I think they're, it's one of these things that you realize as you're older and then you realize the importance of supporting the arts.
Yes. Like I'm obviously, Dukan has said it a million times, but we are not only a supporter of arts and culture, we facilitate it, but I'm in particular a patron of dance. I believe in movement and I believe deeply in the practice of it. However, trying to support it has been very difficult. I can be a patron, you know, through funding, but then I'm like, oh, okay, that's a different place, that it's a whole different world now. So I'm excited to see what the future brings, but what are you excited about in the spaces? Do NFTs mean anything to you?
I don't know. I'm a bit like
sus, right?
Yeah. I'm a little old school. I'm like, if I can't touch it, I don't want to see it.
Yeah, right. Fair enough.
But sometimes, you know, I have these thoughts of like, well, if I tweet something stupid and I sell it to somebody for a lot of money, wouldn't that be really cool? I just don't, I would never tell people that I did it.
But no, it's a cool flex.
Right?
It's very cool.
We've been working on an NFT project before NFTs were NFTs. This is since Reem and I became friends. She would have a lot of opinions about things and she'll send them through. And it will always be followed with, save this for the gallery.
Yeah, so in my mind, we have a gallery of our dumb WhatsApps.
And our communications and the tweets.
And then you walk into a room and there's all the voice notes between Akkawi and OT.
Oh my
God. Like you're inside the voice note. Don't you get it? This is genius. I'm sorry.
We're looking to do that. So
I mean, I save like really weird stuff. I save... I don't want to put it...
Maybe I'll just put it out there.
My friends and I have been always joking about... putting together the weird stuff we get on the internet from people, like
that's
crazy
amazing.
DMs and weird, really weird shit.
100%.
And we're always like, you know, one day we'll do this anonymous show and then we'll invite everybody and say, hey, come and find what you said to me.
Come
and find your DM.
Yeah, you
call
send
them out.
Invite.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I think it's genius.
Let's do it.
It has to happen.
Let's call 1-800-CHARGE-OUR-FOUNDATION. And be like, hey.
Is it 1-800-CHARGE-OUR?
It's definitely not. It's definitely not something I would do at my workplace. But it's one of those like, if I can.
No, we'll do ours
really
at your workplace.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Or you can send us yours and then we'll integrate it into ours.
And pretend like it's part of ours.
Pretend like it's just
Thank
so that
you. That's
yeah.
a great one.
We facilitate the arts. Yeah. We're a facilitator. Yeah.
There you go.
And we'll have a corner that's just the anonymous DMs.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's what we'll call it. And we'll put all your stuff
in the treasure trove.
Tell people to come and like find.
Find theirs.
Find their ridiculous. Yeah. And we used to keep,
exactly.
We used to keep stuff like that as well. Like in the office, we get weird requests.
I was,
like,
Tak and I were just having a conversation about modern romance and online etiquette. Pictures, if you will.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Is that what we're calling them? Yo, this is great. I've never heard this one.
Yeah. You should coin that term.
No, thank you. You know, but I do think, like, this is the thing, right? Everybody now has a treasure trove of things that they can use to create their proverbial gallery.
Yeah.
Not all of it is viable.
It needs to be curated.
Not all the stuff that you collect, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know.
It's wonderful. It's your life.
Exactly.
It's your life in pictures.
But it's stuff you collect, whether it has meaning or not. I mean, it can have meaning to you. It doesn't have to mean anything to anybody else. But
yeah,
I don't know. I feel like there's a whole a whole bunch of stuff in people's DMs. Personal emails that you can just create wonderful stories out of.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Yeah, and when, like, but see, this is the thing, and call me like traditionalist, but I love the experience of walking through.
Yeah.
That's something that I know, like, obviously with social distancing and all of that, but that practice of going with intention and making and feel the rain room, a perfect example, that experience, that creates human memories that, so, I'm not sure if I know you listen to the show, but I don't know if we've released this episode yet. I thought my brain was broken for a little bit. I actually thought my brain was broken. So I went into this like obsessive deep dive into how I can recover my brain. It wasn't broken. I was just it was just trauma. Like just childhood trauma. But what just a bit of childhood trauma. But what I realized was that our life is nothing but the memories.
Yeah.
And when you fail to recall those, whether you're conjuring is real or not, that's what your life is made of. So for me, in those dictures, in your DMs, is a conjuring of moments of your life. And everybody has this.
Everybody has
this archive. When you do a walkthrough, you go through an artist's experience, very much like what we experience when we go to Sharjah. I am in love with that immersion. And I don't want that to go away.
Yeah.
I don't think that virtually.
You can't experience that virtually.
It's a teleportation of its own where you're immersed with all your senses into it.
And I want to surrender. Yeah. I walk in, I pay my ticket for whatever it is. And I want you to take me somewhere else. If it's at the museum, if it's at the science center, that's what humans, whatever, I'm sorry. Science. I would never know. I was never taken there. But like,
you didn't get the invite.
I didn't get the E invite. But that's what I feel like I never want us to lose that sense. And I'm hoping that that's still a part of the Sharjah Art Foundation's kind of core.
Totally.
Is it still there?
Always. I mean, we're not fans of putting everything online and doing online shows.
Yeah.
It's not what it is. I mean, for us also, like, the main reason the main reason our spaces in the arts and heritage areas are not in big buildings with closed doors is because we want it to be accessible to everybody. We don't want to exclude a community or have people feel like it's not for them. Mm-hmm. And that automatically happens when you're in a big building and you have security guards at the door and somebody's saying, you know, can I see your ticket?
Yes.
And so it's open. It's free. You just walk in. You get lost. You stumble upon a building, whatever, that kind of thing. And you have that experience. And I feel like I know everybody thinks that online means it's accessible for everybody, but it's actually not.
But it's not.
It's actually not. And also things that are online, I mean, people in our kind of scope of work know about them. So I know I would know which museums put works up online, for example, but nobody else would.
Right. Yeah.
But when you walk into, you know, an art exhibition or a community space, it's right there. It's for everybody.
Yes. Yeah.
And then also that feeling, like I think everybody had or has that moment, they remember that moment when art moved them or did something to them or changed some kind of feeling in them, whether it made you angry or happy or sad or whatever it was, whether it's music or a film, you can't replace that.
No.
You can't replace that experience. And I think that's one of the main reasons that we didn't want to do this online. We didn't move anything online. I mean, we did talks and film screenings and programs online, but art is art. You have to come and see it and experience it and feel it. And it's about the space you're in. It's about the lighting. Yeah. It's about how a curator works within these four walls and lights and sounds and all of that to make you have an experience.
I'm in love with that immersion.
Yeah.
That for me is like, that's what I'm living for in all shapes and sizes.
No, and even when it comes to like modern artwork, like for example, when Fikra hosted their graphic design biennale in that building in the heritage site. And when you walk in, it takes you through these corridors and this journey of, you know, media history of Sharjah.
That was nice. That was really cool.
That was my favorite part of it. And I remember that. And you walk through everything and kind of and for me, it was so nostalgic. It's like, oh, I remember this. I saw this or I read that. And I remember this TV station and that radio. So you go through this experience and then you get to the new part where, oh, these are where the new artists are, the new faces that are defining this new time of art. And that expression and that journey, for me, I remember it completely.
But it's also because you got into a car and you drove somewhere
with that
experience.
Exactly.
You walked on the street and you remember everything you saw and you felt and you touched and you smelled and you tasted. And
It's a whole
thing. And online, it disappears with the rest of the blurriness.
I mean, it's caught between the posts. It's caught between the feeds. And
yeah. And it's literally, I've never thought of that till you just spoke about it. I'm like, yeah, actually, if you ask me, what are the top 10 Instagram posts I just saw while I was walking? Yeah. No memory.
Of course.
Right?
It doesn't do anything to you.
No.
Yeah.
You know, you'll remember it, but then you'll forget it because you'll see something.
It's just a blur.
Cooler or like filtered better or whatever it is.
So I think I understand your reticence, but I also believe that the human connections that young people have are real online.
Yeah.
They may not be as real
for us. They're real.
Yeah, totally. Because they're like, oh, we're going to go hang out at whatever cafe. I'm like, what? They're like, no, it's in the game. They're in the game and hang out at that cafe.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I wish I had that when I was a kid.
Right.
Like, I had a curfew and I got into trouble and I couldn't go anywhere. And like, if I was online,
you would have been at the cafe.
I could go anywhere.
Right. Don't tell Baba was not an issue. Exactly. Would not be an issue, right?
I wouldn't have to ask anybody. Just put on my headset and go.
Right.
But I was thinking of that more of like, in terms of art and exhibitions and all that kind of stuff. So when I looked at it, I was like, okay, it's amazing. I can see people, I can hear people. And I'm moving in a space where, you know, I'm sitting in my chair, but I'm actually moving. But then what would art look like here?
It would look digital until we, as the creators, can get it to as photoreal as possible. At the moment, I believe we're in that strange space where... And we did an episode on VR a while ago because Omar was creating stuff. Mm-hmm. The ideas, the technology has not caught up with the creators yet. And so when the processing power can get to where it's photoreal,
where the creator wants it,
it will be different. But at the moment,
I remember because we had the Oculus at the office because Omar wanted to start creating. So obviously, we are heavy R&D in that way. We're like, okay, let's play and figure it out first, right? It's just like with podcasting, like we were like, let's just figure this whole thing out one step at a time. And the one experience in it that was closest, and even then it was very glitchy and difficult and very slow, was Google Maps.
Right.
I was able to go back
to San Francisco.
Yeah. And not only to my old campus, but then now I'm standing on the roof of the campus looking around at the street. That for me was, that was amazing.
Yeah.
But again, it's a little glitchy, a little slow, the quad's not all there. So like still technology requires, you need to keep up with the creatives. Yeah. That's
and
true.
For someone like me, because where I went to school in Iraq has been bombed. So I can't recover that or the streets or the, you know, so I would like to go to Iraq 1983 and just see that, you know, but to that point, it's not real.
Yeah.
And I know it, you know. So I believe it offers this space that can be conjured for the pieces that are missing in our collective memory, if you will.
Yeah.
But that's its extension. It has boundaries. All tech has boundaries, you know. I need to see pen strokes. I need to see brush strokes. I need to see muscles and sculpture. I find that so human.
Yeah.
And I don't want to lose that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think we should lose that, you know.
But I think it's also just amazing how much we can do with technology and how also, I don't know, I feel like why aren't more people teaching, I don't know, coding and all these things. Like all the kids need to be doing that right now.
Yeah.
Like I look at that and I'm like, that's, you know, I wish I got into that when I was younger. I wish I knew. I wish, you know, and we were like, I remember running these weird scripts on
DOS.
Yes, DOS.
Yeah. I remember all that stuff. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I was into it for a while and then I just stopped because
there was no focus on that.
Yeah.
And like, here's the thing, and I do believe that's partially the school's responsibilities as well, where the same way like math, science, and English were mandatory and you get into calculus and you get into physics and chemistry, this should have been part of the journey.
Yeah.
You know, because just like I remember my last art class ended at sixth grade or seventh grade and that was it, right? Because you get into the serious stuff.
Yeah.
The music classes stop, all that stops.
And you both seem to mention this, that it stopped. It didn't stop for...
No, our high school was, when you would say academic,
it was very, right?
Yeah.
And even there's a stigma that's built around it where you go through either the sciences or the arts in high school. You get to choose. right? So you're either like…
Which way did you
11S,
go?
11S, 11L. So I started in sciences and halfway I'm like, I don't want to do this. And I switched.
Yeah, to the arts.
I switched to the arts.
I was all the way through.
Yeah.
I could not. I still can't look at numbers. I get anxious.
You're like,
I just couldn't. Yeah.
Just
I couldn't. Like, I really couldn't. It just went over my head. And I think it's also because there was this pressure of you had to like really academically excel.
Yeah, and a stigma of, oh wait, but why are you in arts? That's where the dumb people would go.
Wait, hold on. You were told you were in the with the dumb people. Oh, wow.
No, yeah, guys, yeah. Arts was L for losers.
Yeah, I remember that. Exactly.
L for losers. That was, yeah.
And S for sciences. You're like, what? That was the shit. That was the school we went to.
Yeah. Look, I know the stigma is practiced in the Arab side of my family, no problem. But Philippines, karaoke is our national sport. That's singing. That's art. You can't,
singing. We don't have that.
No.
Wow. What do you mean you're not going to
And then when you make it to high school.
What a weight to carry.
Yeah. And you find out like one of your classmates plays the guitar, or somebody plays the drums. Like, where did you learn that? Because school did not teach you that.
Yeah. So you had to be privileged in a way because your parents would be able to teach you, get you classes outside.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. No, that was not my experience.
And then you get into sports because you get out of detention.
Right.
Because if you played for the team, you can be like, oh, I got practice or I got a game. I can't make detention.
Yeah. Wow. But okay, so here's a question. Because the Arab world has such a deep history of Islamic art, but also art in general.
Yep.
The building blocks of like Mesopotamia and culture, like as culture. Come on.
Yep.
What are we doing? Erasing?
Yeah, but we went to like a British like ex-army military base camp, whatever it was. Uh-huh. It was not.
It wasn't.
No.
How colonial.
Yeah.
We didn't even have a national anthem.
You didn't have a national
sing.
No.
You didn't sing the national anthem.
No. The other. Well, all the schools did it.
You did Aishi Biladi every morning.
Yeah. So we heard
even I
sing
hear.
It.
I hear that every
and
morning.
We were at some point. We were probably the only non-segregated school.
Yeah, we were.
Was this seen as a privilege that you were sent there?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Because
if
people knew, when people know which school we went to, their eyes pop like, oh my God. And they ask you all these questions.
Well, here it is. Yeah. So at the time, to be fair, at the time, it was like the education system was really great. And it was an international school. And the best thing, I think, is that we went to school with kids from everywhere.
Yes.
Yeah.
We had exposure to so many different cultures and all of that. However, you know, people would be like, you know, my grandmother's always like, oh, I don't tell people you go to that school because, you know, boys and girls in that school.
Yeah. Haram.
Haram.
Yeah. Yeah.
All that stuff. But we had, like, it wasn't…
We were privileged.
We were
like,
privileged.
Undoubtedly, probably the most privileged people of Sharjah to be in that school. Because you do get to experience all that. Like, even when I talk about, like, the fights and the racism and the issues I've had, I was still in a very privileged space because that… in a way was the society where you knew the school is going to catapult you to the best universities in the world.
It will give you the chance.
That was
the fighting
school.
Chance.
Exactly. Right. And it gave you all these opportunities. And that was a big piece of it. So which leads me to a question for you, interestingly enough, low-key calling you out. But were you one of those whose nanny would bring you hot plates of lunch to school?
No.
Oh, okay.
What was your lunch like?
Really. My lunch? I don't know. It was packed. Like, we got it packed, whatever it was.
Okay.
And I would share… Like, I would keep anything that had, like, Nutella or whatever in it. And I would share everything else.
Oh, okay, cool. So you'd pack from home.
She clearly had her priorities straight because she's in the arts. That's why she has her priorities.
We did have those students.
But like, I was friends with everybody who got… really good lunches.
Yeah.
So just for anyone who hadn't listened to those episodes, OT has such a chip on his shoulder, right, about these kids in your school that had their nannies come at lunchtime and bring like a proper…
A feast.
Right. So at recess, you would figure your life out with two dirhams. You'd do the best that you can for survival.
No, you would…
Plus…
She had Nutella.
Yeah, no, she had Nutella.
Yeah, I didn't tell sound, but then you would dig in the sand pit and find extra coins.
Right.
You
guys are so rich, money was falling out of your pockets.
And you'll sit and watch these kids during recess whose maids would come in with these, like, it is a whole meal. It's a feast, like salads and mains and desserts, and they'd prep it for them. And you'll watch salivating outside the window.
Like, that's who I need to be friends with. I'm going to join that because I'm going to get good lunch.
Smart.
I tried to be friends with the kids that got McDonald's because we weren't allowed. So I…
Legit.
That was one.
Yeah. Okay.
And then if you wanted it, you'd go to their city center.
That was where
Magic Planet was. It was
okay,
a whole thing.
Okay. Yeah. I get it now.
Or Fanfare.
Yeah,
oh my
Fanfare.
God, that was great. Fanfare was amazing.
I'm so fascinated at the fact that the school that you went, in order to go to the best school possible, to give you the best opportunity possible, you sort of had to sacrifice… and a piece of the identity, the Arab identity that goes away, you know, listening, not hearing the national anthem, not whatever. But then it ends up breeding I know you don't see it like this, OT, but my understanding of anyone that I've met from Sharjah, like I said before, so committed to the arts, so committed to creativity, yeah. so committed to culture.
Yeah.
Probably because of the, you know, yeah. the grounds that you were bred on.
Yeah,
know?
And I had this really interesting conversation with my mom a few years ago. I'm like, you know what? If we had these options, that could have made things better. This was my, you know, beef with the school. And her argument was like, actually, maybe it did impact that to some degree, but you're more analytical and a better thinker than yeah. if you did not go to that school, because at least it forced you to think differently. Whereas yeah. if you did go to an art school, you'd be great at art, but how are you going to make money from your art?
Yeah, but
you don't know how to think that way.
The hatred for the arts runs deep where you are.
You know? Like, yeah. So
like, it's a miracle you are who you are.
Because, yeah, because like, really the school in a lot of ways beat that out of you,
yeah.
right? And you had to find something that kept you attached to it, whether it was music, whether it was dance. Like,
yeah.
And I'm very grateful for hip hop culture as well, because like it gave you that. So you would experiment in those spaces in a way that the school did not allow necessarily, mm. you know, and you couldn't even dress creatively. You had a school uniform that is gray pants, white shirts, you know?
I'm a fan of uniforms. Yeah.
So in that way, like you had to figure it out for yourself. Mm. So, you know, your friends, your community, the neighborhood you hung out at, something somewhere starts to teach you that. And I do think it's like the water in Sharjah or something.
There must be something yeah. in the water, because I can tell you it's just so creative, so wonderfully creative. Look, there's a lot to be said for access. Giving yeah. people just access, and you know, it's art. You make a decision. Like yeah. it's art. It's not, yeah. you know, it's deep, but it's not, you need to give pave roads to it. I think yeah. that's the heart yeah, of what we're saying, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I've learned a lot about you guys and your Sharjah experience. I've also learned what I have missed out on. And
we're not going to talk about that.
That's fine.
We're going to go. No, we're going to take you.
Can we
promise?
Yo, can we?
Will
can
you,
we all
will
go?
You be
we'll
a
make,
part of
we'll
our
make it a trip.
Excursion?
Yeah.
Okay, okay. Wonderful. But that'll I guess fine. It's outside, so we'll
no,
be
the
going.
Science Museum's
it's
indoor.
Okay.
We can go.
I'm into that.
I don't know oh if
God.
We can
and
touch
is the
oh.
My God, what's it called? The
Planetarium?
Yes. Is it still there?
The planetarium is being renovated.
Okay.
Okay.
But we've saved it. It's not going anywhere.
Okay, okay. Good.
So we're hoping to put art in it. So something really cool that we do is we renovate and restore and save a lot of older buildings from the 70s, that kind of cultural history that yeah. we were talking about.
That's
that,
amazing.
That people don't see as history, but actually it's our history.
Yeah.
So we kind of do that. In addition to being an art foundation, we save a lot of
yeah,
buildings.
Y'all get yeah, busy.
Which it's is very cool. Yeah. yeah, it's very cool.
Art and archive are intertwined, by yeah. the way. I've never yeah. seen them as separated.
But it's right. a very odd thing to have under the roster of things that you do.
yeah.
Like when people ask us, like, tell me about what you do, and it's always like exhibitions and we commission artists and we have grants and we support artists. Oh, and we save a lot of buildings.
Yeah. yeah. And
but
we're
we work,
saving the buildings.
But we work hand in hand with, you know, the heritage department and people who restore, you know. We do restoration with the right people, so all of that. But we're keeping all of these really cool buildings and putting art in them. A lot of, you know, a lot of times because of the, I think, dynamic of the city and how, you know, the urban structure of a city changes and things become forgotten.
Yes.
Or discarded.
Modernized
so
is the word that some people like to use.
We take biennials or projects or whatever it is and put it back in those places and create a new narrative, a new dialogue, and new experiences. So for people like us who remember it growing up, you go back and you have all these amazing
yeah.
memories. For people who don't know it, you're experiencing a site, but then you're thinking about, so what was it? What was it used for? Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
And there's a radio station.
Yes, we've discussed that.
Oh, no. You guys have discussed it.
Yo, I couldn't.
Is there or is there not a radio?
When she was telling me about it, I was driving and in tears. I couldn't stop laughing.
So there is a radio station. It's one of the oldest radio stations in Sharjah, and we've acquired it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not completely ready for kind of public use, but we are in the process of kind of restoring the building, and we want to start operating out of it. We want to create studios. Maybe you guys can come and podcast
yeah, yeah.
out of there.
Yes, please.
It would be so cool.
Yes, please.
Yeah. I'm down.
Oh my God. Okay.
And
so
and it's funny when Akawi thought about it and mentioned and told us about potentially maybe doing a shoot there. What came to mind, and now I made it a point, I need to go dig those out. When my dad first set up his office here.
Right.
Right. And my mom was still in Sudan. I was just born. So this is like 80s. He would send her photos of him in the office, like, check out my new office space. And he'll pose and have people take photos of him
right,
in the office.
Right, right.
And I don't know why, when I thought of the radio station and doing a photo shoot there, that was the memory that came to mind. Like, I distinctly remember these, oh, wow, these photos of my dad in his office. So I'm going to dig those out. I'm going to, like, that's the new reference mood board.
I think that's wonderful.
That we're going to use for this.
Yeah. Okay.
And it was like somewhere on King Faisal Street. And at the time, because they're a shipping company, there was enough land next to them where they could have their warehousing spaces.
Wow.
And it was just like, really, and he was happy. And one of the coolest photos is like he's posing with the phone, like he's on a phone call.
Oh, everybody used to do that. These old photos.
I think that's what we need to do. Yeah.
Like, hey, you know? So
this is not how people hold phones anymore.
Oh, no,
have
don't.
You seen that? If you ask a young person to hold a phone, like put
your
a phone to
their nephew,
they'll go like this.
Yeah. That's true.
And
they
so
don't do this
we're going to do this.
Nobody understands this anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So there it is. So let's head. We've got to head to Sharjah, I guess.
Definitely.
Let's do it.
All right, Noah, where can people find you?
I'm on social media. I'm on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at Sharjah Art Foundation, but don't knock on my door.
Do not.
Also, if you want to get the know and want to be in on like the dopest food spots of Sharjah in the Northern Emirates, they got to follow you.
Oh, yeah.
Know.
So listen, I want to start doing food tours. I'm just waiting for like COVID to go away a little bit, but I want to start doing food tours.
Okay, I'm in.
Photo walks, explore Sharjah, Kharfakan, Deid, Madam, all these cool spaces.
Yeah.
Do it. We'll be there. Yeah. We'll be there.
Thank you for kicking it with us today. I hope you enjoyed listening to this week's episode as much as we enjoyed creating it for you. Please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast at to stay up to date with all our conversations. Also, if you don't mind, hit us with the 5-star rating, leave a comment, let us know how you feel about the show. That way, it could also help others find the show. And be sure to share it with your friends and family, whoever you think can benefit from it. You can holler at us on all social media platforms at The Can Show. We'd love to hear from you. Or you could drop us an email to hello@thecanmedia.com. Salam.